All right. Let's take our Bibles tonight and look at some answers when it comes to the home. Amen. So, I'm in Psalms chapter number 78. Brother Hodge asked me tonight if I'm planning on preaching out of the Bible. I said, well, I was planning on it. I had to come straight from work. I understand. Typically on Wednesday nights, I come straight from work, but I got a little bit of time to try to look over some stuff before preaching. It's a lot, man, to be out working every day and going, and your mind's 90 to nothing in the other direction. All of a sudden, just bam, change. All right, time to teach. It's a lot. So, I mean, I know y'all know how that is. Everybody in here works, and thank God for it. Psalms chapter 78, and we're going to look at a few verses here in just 1 second, but we're talking about God's blueprint for home builders and looking at three things, and we're dealing with the husbands, but in dealing with the husbands and dealing with the men and young men when it comes to marriage, again, I said last week it gets real personal when there's only a couple of men here that aren't married. But, hey, this is for y'all, all right? And for the young guys that are having been married a long time, there's a lot of stuff in here that'll help us. The older folks can amen us and help us out, but I'm sure there's stuff in there for you too. But we're talking about leaving and cleaving and becoming one flesh as a recipe for a marriage that God would be pleased with, and not only that, but a marriage that God can bless. And God is not in every marriage. He's not there's a lot of marriages that don't make it, and God gets blamed for it, and God was never a part of putting them two together. He was never a part of that plan. And so you can't blame God for that. But we're talking about leaving last week. So tonight I want to start on this idea of cleaving. And our text verse that we read when we started is in Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. We're talking about leaving, and now we're going to talk about cleaving. The word cleave means to be joined together. It's when two essentially become one, and we're going to deal with one flesh here in a minute. But to cleave, it also carries the same idea of the word adhesive. They're stuck together. They're cleaving one to another. And cleave, you could say it means to stick together. And couples are ready to cleave to each other when they are free to have a successful marriage with no emotional bond to their parents. They're ready to leave, and then they can cleave to each other. And you say, well, why do you specifically say to try to leave certain relationships to be able to cleave to your wife? Because it's not just parents, but there's other people that can get involved in a marriage besides just the parents that will keep a husband and wife from cleaving one to another. And that's like friends or things like that. We'll get into that in a second. So a couple things when it comes to cleaving. Number one, a couple can cleave when, number one, they are spiritually united as one in Christ. All right, that's number one. Everything always goes back to Jesus Christ being number one. And if you're going to cleave to your wife, and this could go for a marriage that you've been married a long time, or you just got married, or you're thinking about getting married, this applies to everybody. If you want a marriage that's pleasing to God and that God can bless, it has to be one that is spiritually united as one in Christ. And that's a very important thing. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, number one, are you both saved? If you're, and again, we only have young men in here. If you're talking to a young lady and she's not even saved, you don't need to be talking to her. Give her a gospel tract, witness to her. But it's not one of those things like, hey, I'm going to marry her and I'll win her over later. You know where that leads? It leads to you out of church and miserable. I've seen it happen. Some of y'all have seen that happen. They need to be saved. And you should not even consider marrying somebody. Let me go and say this. You should not consider marrying somebody if they do not believe the same doctrinally as you. Amen. It causes problems. Young people should not even consider marrying somebody who's of another faith. Now, I can give you illustrations of a few that have worked out, but I can give you a whole lot more illustrations of ones that did not work out. And I said a second ago about the man sitting at home right now, and he's not in church, not doing nothing for God because he married somebody that was lost or married somebody that believed totally different than he did. And a lot of times this mistake is made by young people and it causes trouble later in the marriage because they're 10 years down the road or five, or let's say 2 years down the road, and they've got a little baby and this baby's getting a little bit bigger, and the man knows how to discipline children. He's been trained right. He's been raised right. He knows what the Bible says, and they've never discussed it. They've never one time sat down and talked about how are we going to raise our children. What do you believe the Bible says about that? Can we look at the Bible and see what it says? And let's try to get on the same page here. No, they start out just, man, we're in love. We're going to have children and we'll work it out later. And year down the road comes along and they've got this little baby and he begins to discipline the child biblically and she goes crazy about it. That's not going to happen in my home. And we're not going to do that. And it was never discussed. It was never planned out. They don't even believe the same way on it. And next thing you know, you have a home that is completely in a mess. Why? Because they were not ready to cleave. They weren't on the same page when they got married. And you say, well, I might be in a marriage now that, you know, like I said, this, even for my wife and myself, we've been married. I got to remember this because our anniversary is Sunday. I think it's Sunday. It's Sunday. We've been married for 12 years. Come this Sunday. I think it's 12, right? 2006. That's 12, right? Okay, thank you. We've been married for 12 years. That's another thing. Don't forget your wedding day. I used to have my wedding ring, which I lost some weight and it fell off and I lost it. The inside of my wedding band actually had the date engraved in there because Sarah knew I would forget it one day and then I lost my ring. Get back on track here. Even with us having been married for 12 years, and there's some here that have been married a lot longer and could do a much better job of teaching this, God told me to do it and I'm pastoring. So, even though we've been married that long, we still have to put this into practice right now. We still have to study the Bible together. We still have to be on the same page. Adhesive is great as long as it's sticking and working, right? I put up those flags all around the room here. We hung them up and put all those little hooks. There's still some of them on the wall. And guess what? There's some spots where there are no hooks. The adhesive quit working. You know what happens in a marriage when the adhesive quits being used and stops working? There's nothing wrong with the adhesive, God's word. The couple just stop using it. And next thing you know, it causes friction in the home. I've seen people that have been married for who knows how long, and maybe had the same beliefs, or one of them pretended to have the same beliefs. But all of a sudden, when things get real, all of a sudden the true nature comes out, and guess what? It's not there. They're not eye to eye. They don't see the same, and it causes problems. And so as a young man, if you're not married, when we're talking about this thing of cleaving and preparing for marriage, make sure that you can be spiritually united as one in salvation. Make sure they're saved. Make sure they're, you got to make sure that they believe the same way that you do. Make sure they have the same stance on how you're going to dress in the home and what kind of music you're going to have in the home and all those things. And the Bible should be the foundation for that. And after marriage, you've got to continue that. You've got to continue to keep that strength and that strong there. And so there's a lot of children that grow up today without Christ. And they end up, a lot of them end up dying and going to hell. And it all started back when somebody got married and they didn't see eye to eye. And so, you know, they decide they're not going to go to church or they're not going to go here. And that goes with a young lady also. There, a young lady could find a young man that's not saved and doesn't believe the same way. And she thinks she's going to win him over. And thank God there's some success stories to that. Amen. Emily's back there patting Nick on the back. I thank God. That could have went really bad. Amen. But for every one of those, I can give you 10 that didn't. Or more if I think about it. That today they're not in church, they're miserable, they're divorced, home's busted up. And what's sad is, talking about family here, and this is being recorded, but it's not going all over the place. But, you know, I got one sister that's here tonight, and her husband's here, and he's saved, and I thank God for it. I got another one that's saved who's not in church, and her future husband that she's living with is not saved, and they've got two kids, and I don't know if they'll ever grow up in church. breaks my heart. Amen. And Emily brings the one little boy here to church. Y'all see him running around. Pray for him. Amen. Alan. What's the other one's name? Gibson. Alan and Gibson. And that's the newest baby. And thank God Emily's going, driving all the way over there. It's out of the way. Going to pick up that baby and try to bring it to church and try to have it here. And my sister wants him to come, and that's a good thing, right? But she needs to get in church and get – but he's not interested in it. But that's how things started off. And that's a real-life illustration that breaks my heart. But I can give you more of those. And it's very important to make sure you're on the same page. And again, a lot of this stuff is a result of a young man and a young lady doing things they ought not to do before marriage. And then it's a snowball effect from there. And there's no time to talk about what we believe and what you believe when you're in the delivery room. Right? I mean, how are you supposed to have that conversation now when you and her dad's sitting there looking at you like, hey, you going to take care of this family? Amen? Oh, by the way, tell me about the day you got saved. How did you get saved? Do you put your trust in Christ? Amen? How are we going to raise this child? So to start off with, man, do not get physically involved with somebody until you know that's who God wants you to marry and you're married. After marriage. And so that's something that we have to teach our children. Brother Richie, we got to teach our kids that. Amen. We're going to blink, and Charles is going to be running around here chasing a girl somewhere. Amen. Hopefully a long time, right? Amen. I hope so. But I'm sitting here. I've got a nine-year-old. She'll be nine in 2 weeks. And one boy's name gets said, and she starts blushing and running around, and I'm about to pass out. She's 9 years old. What is that? I mean, come on. But it's happening. I know. Help him. I've never punched a nine-year-old before, but I don't want to start now. Thankfully, he's in another country. But these are things that got to be taught, though. They got to be taught these things, and they got to understand the seriousness of it. And we got to teach our children, and we've got to keep our marriage strong by staying on the same page. And it's sad that a lot of marriages don't start off that way. And there's children today, they're not in church because the parents do not see eye to eye. I don't think this is any better, but you got one person going to this church and you got another person going to that church. They believe two different things. And man, that's a mess. That's confusion. God is not the author of confusion. That's mass confusion. And then you got a child that grows up in that home and they don't know what to believe. If they believe anything, and next thing you know, the chances of them dying and going to hell are even greater. And it's very important, Brother Richie, it's very important for us and Nick and Emily and David and some of y'all that have small kids, Brother Brian and Miss Nicole. It's so important for us to raise our children the biblical way and pray that God just instills something in their heart so that our grandchildren, if God tarries, doesn't die and go to hell. Because that day could come where they're now raising children and we're just begging God to do something but we don't want to look back and say, man, I wish I would have tried to train my child up by the Bible says. Amen. And so that's why it's so important for us to do that and to get on the same page and to cleave and adhere to one another. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is if it's through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're on the same page with that thing. Look at Psalms chapter 78. I told y'all to turn there. Psalm 78, look at verse 4 through 7. Parents should train up their children in these matters that we're talking about, lest their grandchildren wind up in hell. Psalms chapter 78, verse number 4. The Bible says, are you there, say amen? We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength, and his wonderful works that he had done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed the law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children. They're the generation to come. Make them known to your children so that the next generation, your grandchildren, so that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, which should arise and declare to their children that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. What are you getting at? Don't let it die with you. Amen. And now there's some folks in here that didn't grow up that way, but now, and you can't use that as an excuse now because God's giving it to you right now. And you're in church and you're getting the word and you're getting the instruction. And you say, well, I didn't grow up that same way. And I know there's some that didn't. They might have grew up in a decent home, but not with instruction like this. But now you have it. It's your responsibility to hand it down to your children and to pass that thing on and keep it going. But you've got to keep that relation. That cleaving has got to stay there. And so we've got to take this thing seriously. Young people must be taught the scripture, the scriptural principles of separation. When it comes to looking for a mate, they need to look for one of the like faith and who believes the same way they do. One second. All right. I had a frog in my throat. Taking another example, a young lady, let's take, Adeline. She's still got a long way to go too, amen. But one day the Lord tarries, she comes along, she needs to find a young man and see if that young man lines up the way her daddy believes. Amen. I'd want Ella to do the same thing. Say, well, hey, that's not how daddy preaches and teaches it. Amen. Make sure it lines up. Why? It's going to be problems. It's going to be problems. And you know, you think, well, there's some things I can compromise on. You know, I think she's saved and she goes down here to this liberal church, but she's going to church. Yeah. Amen. Recipe for problems. Because either one, you're just going to have to do whatever she tells you to do later, or you're going to be, or there's going to be arguments and fighting because you're trying to do something that pleases God. So you need to make sure you're on the same page. Need to be ready to leave and to cleave. Young people should be looking for someone who believes like their parents. That's assuming their parents are saved and believe the right way. And I feel like we've got a good foundation here of some parents that believe that way. So they should be looking for someone who's saved, who loves and serves God. So not only, there's a lot of requirements, is it not? But can I tell you this? You better get it right the first time. Amen. Better get it right the first time. I almost messed up. When I moved to Alabama, I moved here with another young lady from Ohio that I was engaged to. And thankfully, through God's mercy, amen, and some wisdom from my dad that I listened to, it didn't work out. And I married the girl that I know God wanted me to marry, Miss Sarah. And so, make sure she's saved. Make sure she believes the same way. And same thing for him. I'm not saying that because you're not going to marry any boys for the guys that are in here. You're going to marry a girl. But if it's a young lady that might, that we're raising, make sure they're saved, make sure they believe the same way, and make sure they love God. Because you can find somebody that's saved and that might believe the same way, but they might not love God or the things of God, or they might not care anything about the Bible and trying to live a godly life. And so make sure they line up with those things. A young lady should never court, and I say court, not date, a young man who is not serving the Lord. A young man should not court a young lady who's not serving the Lord. She involved in church. Is he involved in church? Is he involved in soul? Is he involved with ministry? That's a good sign that, hey, you're on the right track here. Amen. Instead of a young lady showing up and telling her parents, he's the second coming of John the Baptist. He quoted John 3:16. He missed two words, but he was close. He must be sent from God. He's hit and miss at church. Amen. Doesn't go to soul winning, doesn't go out and do anything to try to minister and serve the Lord. But those are things you got to look out for. We should look for somebody who's genuinely living to try to serve and please God. And then when that comes, they're ready to leave and spiritually be united with one belief in the Bible, and they have the same understanding and the same grasp of what the Bible says, and they're on the same page. They're in one accord on this is how a home should be. And that's when they're ready to cleave. Okay? So you say, all right, well, that's, for the young guys looking for marriage, but that also goes for everybody here that's married to stay a marriage that's pleasing to God. Amen. I realize there's some situations where it's one-sided. There's only one person serving the Lord and one person doing it, but you need to do it your part, what God's asked you to do, and God will take care of the rest. Amen. That's just that's all there is to it. Just do your part and let God worry about the rest. Amen. And so we're going to stop there. We'll give the kids time for practice tonight. And the next week, we're going to look at the second point of cleaving. Second. So let's go ahead and stand. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us, God. Thank you for being so good. Pray, God, you bless the kids tonight as they practice.